Track 10, Back Aboard for a Cool Cruise. Sarah Hardy heads north for an adventure in the land of geysers, fjords, whales and ice.
Well, life is full of surprises, isn't it? Who knew quite how the last 18 months would have played out? Least of all, how much our travel plans would have been curtailed. Cruising came to an abrupt halt in March 2020, with domestic trips resuming in June last year and journeys to far-flung places starting up in August. I joined the country's first international cruise to Iceland with Ipswich-based Fred Olsen Cruise Lines, which departed for its 9-night trip from Liverpool. It was also the first foreign trip for Borealis, one of 2 new ships for the company. Just like everything recently, it was fairly hard work getting to the actual departure point with lots of paperwork. You held your breath very tightly as you were tested for COVID on the quayside, and there was a bit of uncertainty about possible excursions, how life would be on board, what with social distancing and more. But once on the ship, tension simply evaporated, helped, of course, by a cocktail or two. The staff are overwhelmingly friendly and everything just runs like clockwork. Sure, you have to wear masks when walking about and maintain social distancing when needed. The trip has a gentle opening 2 days at sea, where you can play table tennis, swim, head to the beauty salon, the gym, or just one of the many bars on board. Food is always pretty much central to life on board, and do make time for the 2 speciality restaurants, Vasco and Colours and Tastes, which offer Indian and Asian dishes, while the daily afternoon tea at the View restaurant is my tip for a real treat, but I am pretty greedy. Attending one of the regular onboard lectures introduced us to wildlife expert Chris Bielby, who talked us through what we might spot on the cruise, which takes you through waters teeming with whales, dolphins and the like. He also described the numerous seabirds, pointing out the Arctic terns who followed us relentlessly. His talk was so encouraging that we were soon nipping out onto the blustery open decks whenever we could to spot the odd minke whale, fin, or skua, the thug of the seabird world. It was strangely addictive and a great way of chatting to others. Iceland, billed as the land of fire and ice, is fascinating with its amazing untamed landscapes, including geysers, volcanoes, tectonic plates, waterfalls, ocean ridges, and that's before I mention the boiling hot rivers. There is much to learn and ponder, not least the 24-hour summer days and 24-hour winter nights. We had 4 ports of call, starting with the capital, Reykjavik, and were only allowed ashore on pre-booked, organised tours. No great problem, as the tours are always great, with local guides who put more than a bit of colour into their stories. Incidentally, editor's note, Fred Olsen tells us that since then, guests can now embark on their own independent explorations ashore and don't need to go via shore excursion if they don't wish to. There are about 360,000 people in the whole country, with 80% based in the capital, and an average age of 38, and it has become a bit of a party central place in recent years. Indeed, Iceland is a foodie's paradise, with much use of local produce, especially seafood, and seasonal vegetables, with many contemporary restaurants pushing gourmet boundaries. It's definitely on my list for another visit. There's a well-worn tourist route called the Golden Circle that takes in some key sites around the city, including geysers in Geysir and the powerful Golden Falls, Gullfoss. Normally you see the Blue Lagoon too, but not this time for us. In the city proper, we headed to the top of the glass-domed Perlan, a popular attraction with a museum and a great restaurant, and made from old hot water tanks. The views are great and give you a feel for the cityscape, but I was not tempted, like some, to take the zip wire back down. It was then on to Isafjordur, sailing overnight, in the Westfjords, perhaps the most remote part of Iceland, and a wonderful watery paradise. We headed to Vigur Island, a tiny little place renowned for its eider ducks, whose discarded fleece is used in quilts and the like. And when we visited, a few seals were sunbathing on the rocks. Next saw us call in at the capital of the north, Akureyri, with a strong fishing heritage, which is now one of the best places in the world for whale watching. It isn't a huge place, but has a surprising botanical garden, and is within reach of one of the country's best-known waterfalls, Godafoss. Our final port of call was Seyðisfjörður in the east, which is said to have the best climate in the country. We trekked around the surrounding steep mountains, examining delicate harebells, inspecting yet more waterfalls, and simply breathing in all that fresh air. Iceland is a truly intriguing place, both its coastline and interior, and it brings out the inner geologist in us all. It was also great to be back at sea, seeing new sights, exploring new places, and not shopping or indeed cooking for a few days. The ship environment and the excursions felt safe, and we rejoiced in life, hopefully, albeit slowly, getting back to normal. Now, Borealis's 10-night S2216 Whales, Waterfalls and Geysers of Iceland cruise is departing from Liverpool on June the 17th, 2022. Prices start from £1,699 per person. And for more details, you can go to fredolsencruises.com.